John chapter number 8, we ask folks to make sure that they turn their cell phones off so they don't go off during the church service. And of course, we understand if an emergency arises and you need to slip out that that would be necessary. But beyond that, let's sit still now and let God speak to our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse number 28, once you find it, would you stand with me, please? John 8, verse number 28, and I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. John 8:28. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of the most powerful, pertinent verses for any human being is that of verse number 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Now, when I bow my head and close my eyes, I wish that in your heart, in the silence of your mind and heart, you would ask the Lord to speak to your heart too. I am asking to speak to you, but it would make all the difference in the world to Him if you ask Him to speak to you. I'll pray out loud. You can pray along silently. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Father, we turn the rest of the service, of course, over to you. Holy Spirit of God, do the supernatural work that is your intent today. You, in eternity past, knew who would be in this building. Of course, we didn't know that, but you did. You knew that I would preach. You knew what you would lead me to preach. Therefore, today, it's an appointment, a divine appointment. You are going to speak to hearts, and you brought the people here, and you chose the message. May we not miss this unique moment in our lives. Help us not to miss what you have for us. Spirit of God, do a work. Still the people. May we not have interruptions. May we concentrate on the sermon. Help my mind to give them what you intended for them to receive. Please bless the children's church service and all to follow. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. I'll start this Resurrection Sunday service and sermon just a little differently than maybe you might expect. I want to tell you a story. It was a sunny spring day. It's the month of April. It was Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, if you will. An old man had found a park bench near the river and thought he would go down and just sit at that park bench and enjoy the beautiful spring day. He was sitting there on the bench, and the sun was out, and a little bit of a breeze was blowing. He noticed some young people playing in the distance. That man, an older man, a saintly type of a gentleman, had been to church earlier that day. It was Easter Sunday, and after church, he just went out to sit by the river and enjoy the outdoors for a little while. He started to doze off a bit as he was enjoying himself. He noticed, though, a young man coming toward him. That young man got a little closer and a little closer, and then suddenly the older gentleman was startled at the immediate presence of this young man. The young man had his hands together like this, obviously had something in his hands. And the young man said, "Hey, old man," and startled the old fella, said, "Hey, old man, what do I have in my hands? Hey, what do I have in my hands?" And the old man just kind of wanted to get up and walk away. The young man said, hey, wise old man, what do I have in my hands? And the young man said, "I have a bird. I have a bird in my hand, sir. right here in my hands, I have a bird. The old gentleman said, well, young man, that's fine. I'm glad that you do. He got ready to walk away, and the young man, being a little insistent, he said, hey, tell me, old man, tell me something, wise old man, as you said here. Is the bird dead, or is the bird alive? And it startled the old gentleman. He wasn't real sure what in the world the question could be leading to. But again, this young man, very insistent, said, hey, hey, come on, mister, come on, tell me. Is the bird that I have here in my hands, is the bird dead, or is the bird alive? The old man thought for a moment, looked very sincerely up from the park bench, and he said, young man, it is as you will. The young man said, what? What words are these? What do you mean? It is as I will. Is the bird dead or is the bird alive, old man? And the old gentleman said, young man, it is as you will. If I say the bird is dead, you'll set it free and let it fly to the sky. If I say the bird's alive, you could crush it, let it drop to the ground dead. And so, it is as you will. And the answer so startled that young man, he has dropped his hands, and the bird flew to the sky. He sat down on the bench by the old gray-haired veteran man and just listened to him talk for a little while. Folks, what do you have there in your hands? Oh, you know what you have in your hands? Your life. Your life. It's in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to crush it? Or are you going to let it have the liberty and the freedom that God intended? You know, I realize that God plays a major role in our lives, but you all must realize something. God can only play that role if you allow Him to have that role. And I believe that you and I are to be dependent on our Maker to help get things done in our lives. But I have to tell you, God is very dependent on you in doing the part you're supposed to do to make your life either successful or you will have a tremendous lack of success in your life. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Thank God He's not dead, He's alive. There's two things that can come of that, or many, many things, but let me say to you right off the bat, if you're not saved, you can thank God that He's a resurrected Savior. He makes it so that you can be born again. But then let me say to every Christian here, everybody here that's already born again, not only did God's Son die to give you a way to go to heaven, He died so that you could also live a victorious life after you get saved. And God placed in your hand your life. And God may look down today in this church service and ask the question, what do you have in your hand there? Sir, adult man, what do you have in your hand there? You'd have to say, it's my life. Ma'am, lady, adult lady, today, may I ask, what do you have in your hand there? Well, it's your life. Teenager, what is that that you have in your hand there? Oh, it's your life. Well, is it alive? Will you crush it? What is it? What are you going to do with your life? You have the opportunity to do something wonderful with your life. But if you want to, you can go ahead and you can make your life miserable. If you want to, you can go ahead and do your thing and oppose what God wants. You could go ahead and crush the spiritual intent right out of your life. Will you let your life be victorious? Or will you crush it? And let the devil ruin your life. God gave you a life. Now, what will you do with it? Please, if you will, I want to talk to you about that very thought. I call the sermon, It Is as you will. It is as you will. For instance, may I say first of all, this church service, it is as you will. If I could, I would hand this church service to you, place it in your hands. You may put it in your hands, and I say to you, what are you going to do with this church service? What are you going to do with it? Well, so you know, it is as you will. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2, it uses the words that the word preached did not profit them. You want to know why? Somebody stood up and preached the never dying word of God to some people, and they chose not to listen to what was said. They came with a chip on their shoulder. They came with other intent. Oh, maybe you came to church today because you said, well, you know what, it's Easter and you ought to go to church on Easter and I'm not really going down to the church to get anything from God. I'm just going because it's the social thing to do. And if that's why you came today, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Now I've got you. Nothing you can do about it. And I'm just going to tell you, there's more to this day than the little Peter Cottontail, and there's more to this day than just doing the social thing. Because as the morning progresses, I'm going to challenge you about not destroying your life and not messing up your life and letting it go free rather than crushing it under the power of your own hands. I'm going to preach that to you, but I've got news for you. The choice is yours. What are you going to do? It is as you will. This church service, it is as you will. You could have a negative attitude toward it. It is as you will. You could come to criticize or critique. It is as you will. You could have come with a pre-planned determination of rejection. You wouldn't believe people that say right before they get to the church service, they turn to their husband or wife because they don't usually go and say, well, I don't care what they say, I'm not doing it. This is the challenge of life for the pastor. Oh, but it is as you will. There are people that, hey, this service, it is as you will. Now, everybody here is paying very good attention at this moment. And I thank God for that. No disruptions. But you know, that's really up to you. You choose whether you're going to pay attention in church or you're not. For some of you, you give better attention to watching some spooky show on the television than what you give when you're in church. I mean, you can sit there in front of that television, glued to every moment of that show. Then you come to church and you're bored stiff out of your mind and you can't pay attention. But you know what? Your attention that you give in church, it is as you will. I don't care how good the speaker is. I don't care how well he can tell stories. I don't care how animated he can possibly be. It really boils down to what are you going to do when you come to church? It is as you will. You can allow God to work on your life. It is as you will. And you know, some of you, by the time I'm done, you're going to say, what a coincidence. He said some things today that it applied to me. No coinkydink in that, bud. God knew you were coming. It's not a coincidence. God's bigger than that. God knew you would be here. And you're going to have to decide, what are you going to do with it? You know, we have a church service. It is as you will. There's somebody that can leave here today saying, that was just terrible. While there may be many others walk away saying, wow, that was great. What's the determining factor? Is it my sermon? Not necessarily. It is how you receive it and what you're going to do with it. It is as you will. That young man said, hey, old man, what do I have in my hands here? What do I have? Boy, did it shock him when the old man said, yeah, it's a bird and it is as you will. If you let that bird go free, if you let that bird have victory, if you let that bird do what it was intended to do, you can do that. If you choose to crush the life out of it and destroy that thing, you can do that as well. It is as you will. May I say, God gave you a mind. That mind, it is as you will. When God created you, God gave you an ability to think. God gave you this thing that we would call a brain. Your mind was given to you and given to you for a good reason. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God intended for you and I to develop our minds to think the way He would think. That's why this book is so important. This book is God's mind. This book is how God thinks. But God comes to us and he says, hey, what do you have in your hand there? What do you have at your disposal? Oh, your mind. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it be developed properly? Or are you going to let it be destroyed? Are you going to let it be minimized? Or will you let it go free and be maximized and let God do something great with your mind? Folks, don't crush the thinking capacity that God's given you. And I think we waste so much of it. Don't waste your mind. The teenagers stay in this service, and I'm glad that they do. So let me say to every teenager in here, don't quit school. Don't quit school. God gave you a mind, and you have the ability in our country to go to school and to graduate and get an education. And anybody that has known me for very long know I make a big deal. I think education is very important. I don't think you ought to be taking shortcuts. I think you ought to get the education that God's made available to you. And every young person, God's given you a mind, and I'm begging you not to crush and destroy and minimize the mind that God's given you, but develop it. Young people, keep reading. There's more to life than playing video games. And I don't think all video games are bad. I'm just here to tell you, we live in a generation where people don't read anymore. I want to recommend to everybody that you learn to read and you work on reading and you keep studying. Don't waste your mind. Watch what kind of junk you put in your mind. You put wicked things in your mind, wicked things are going to come out of your mind. Watch where you're at on the internet, and watch what kind of books that you get into, and watch what kind of philosophy and kind of garbage you're putting in. You put bad things in your mind, you'll waste your mind. I was preaching in Elizabethtown, Kentucky many, many years ago. Pastor said, let's go down to the nursing home and I want you to go down there and preach to a group of people. And obviously, I immediately thought I would be preaching to people that were in their 80s and 90s. And that's what I expected to find. I got there, and there was a great big group of people like that. But I walked in the door and went down one corridor. And sitting in a chair, strapped in a chair, was a 13-year-old boy. He was strapped in that chair. His head was leaning to the side, one eye closed and one eye open. He was drooling. And I'm not trying to be inappropriate. The drool was just running down his face onto his chin, a long stream of it, onto a little desktop where they had him on a chair that was on wheels, almost a desk on wheels. On the top of his desktop, it was just slobber, just drool. 13 years of age. And I asked one of the nurses, I said, that just breaks my heart. How old is that boy? She said, he's 13. I said, what is his name? And she told me. She said, that boy over a year ago got mixed up with the wrong group of kids. He went out and did some drugs, and those drugs have virtually blown his brain away. He is a 13-year-old vegetable. We diaper him, we feed him, and he's strapped in that chair. We bathe him at 13 years of age. And let me say to everybody in here, God gave you a mind. He did not give you that mind that it might be wasted on drugs and alcohol and all the trash that will destroy your mind. And you might say, well, preacher, it's Easter morning. Shouldn't you be talking about the Easter bunny? I'm giving you more advice and better advice. You want to have a victorious life. You can thank God that up from the grave he arose, because he makes it so you and I can be victorious in our life. And I say to everybody here, your life, it is as you will. And your mind, it is as you will. There's some of you, you're a little older and you have ceased to work on your mind and develop your mind. You thought learning was all for the kids in high school. I've got news for you. We're all to learn all the way to the grave. You ought to be growing. You ought to be growing in the Lord. You ought to be developing your mind and challenging your mind. Hey, put the right things into your mind. Put the Word of God in your mind and godly music in your mind and moral, clean thoughts. You put filthy thoughts in, filthy thoughts are going to come out in your life. And I'm saying to you, what do you have there in your hands? What is that you have a possession of? And you know what? It's your mind. Is it dead? Or will it be alive? The answer is, it is as you will. If you want to deny God the opportunity to develop your mind, that's going to happen. If you want to give God the opportunity to develop your mind and help you to go on and grow and succeed, that can happen as well. But God's not going to make you do either one. You're going to have to do your part so God can develop your thinking. Not only is your mind in your hands, but so is your body. What is that you have there? Your body? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're a born-again Christian, your body is not your own. It belongs to God. You say, well, why so? Because he'd take better care of it than you. He was hoping that once you realized that your body was his possession, that you'd take care of it the way you ought to. We all ought to learn to take care of things that belong to others. If you're not going to take care of the things that belong to you properly, you better take care of the things that belong to others properly. But your body, what are you going to do? You're going to destroy it? And folks, God gave you a body. Don't waste it. Don't abuse it. Use it for the right things. Don't hurt yourself. It's been around a while, but I'll just tell y'all, and some of you are old enough to quickly be familiar with what I'm saying. When I was in high school, I didn't know anybody in the high school that was cutting themselves. It just didn't exist. Say, well, did you have pressure in high school? Yes, we had pressure in high school. But this thing where people are destroying their own bodies and cutting themselves, let me say to everybody here, you ought not be doing that, and that's the wrong thing to do. Well, God gave you that body. Don't destroy that body. You only get one body. And to all the young people, on behalf of those that have a few miles and a few years on them, let me say to every young person here, you make sure you take care of your body. Don't abuse it. Many people get to their 50s, 60s, and 70s and look back on their life and say, boy, do I wish I would have taken better care of my body when I was younger. I wish I would have exercised, and I wish I would have done some things that would have kept me healthy and I didn't abuse my body. But to everybody here, you have a body. God has given you that body. God created that body. Don't waste your body. Don't misuse your body. Use it for the right thing. Young man by the name of William. He lived in East Chicago, Indiana. I had the privilege of helping him for a while. Boy, this kid, he had been through it. Smoking dope, popping pills, got himself into a gang, 16 years old, carried a gun to school. One weekend, William got himself high enough that he decided that he was going to commit suicide. His parents had hurt him. It just seemed like every which direction William turned, there was hurt. He got himself high enough one weekend, and I remember when they called me and said, you need to go visit William. We know you've tried to help him. When I got there, both of his wrists were bandaged up. William had tried to cut both his wrists. But here's the catch. He'd gotten himself high enough that he did it with a hacksaw. William had himself blown away enough that he took a hacksaw and cut both wrists, almost bled out. I thank God that William began to realize that Jesus Christ could make a difference in his life. William got born again. William started coming to church. William, for the first time, heard a preacher say, you're not to do that to yourself. God gave you that body, not to abuse it, not to misuse it. God gave it to you for a good purpose. Now use your body for the right thing. I'm happy to say today, William is still in church. William loves the Lord. Never tried to hurt himself like that again. He's making an impact. He'll tell other young people, you should never try to hurt yourself. And to everybody here, you do not have the right to even take your own life. Your life was given to you by Almighty God. And may I say, it is in your hands. This church service, it's in your hands. Your mind is in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Your body, it's in your hands. You know, your future to a degree, it's in your hands. I'm glad I live in America. I don't think America is everything that she ought to be, but she's a far cry better than most every country all around this world. I'm glad I'm an American. Did you know in America, it's still the land of the free and the home of the brave? Did you know in America, there is still potential and opportunity? Did you know in America, you can still succeed if you're not a lazy bum and want to sit back on your rocking chair and do nothing and watch everybody else work? You can still accomplish. You can still build something. You can still make something of yourself. We're in America, and I'm glad of that. And you don't want to know something? I think that your future living in a country like this, be just about as positive as you want to make it. You willing to pay the price? There are accomplishments waiting out there for you. What do you have there? Well, you have your future. What do you have in your hand? Well, I've got my future. May I ask, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your future? Are you going to crush it? Are you going to destroy it? Are you going to waste it? Or are you going to let it be victorious? You're going to accomplish something with your future. You know, the truth from the Bible that's been given to you, do you know that that will help you to either succeed if you obey it, or it'll cause you to fail if you disobey it? Did you hear the verse that we read earlier? The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Folks, you've got a wonderful future. If you'll just do what the Bible says, God will bring prosperity to your life. I'm not saying that all challenges will be done away with. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Some people say, get saved and all your problems will go away. I don't think so. Get saved, and when your problems come, God will help you through it. And there will be some problems you'll not have to deal with, because salvation will spare you from some things in life. Let me say to everybody in here, you have a future. And you say, "Oh, but preacher, I'm in my 80s. Hey, but as long as you're still sucking air, you've got a future. That means God has something for you. I don't care if you're 8 or 80 or 800. If you're still alive, that means God has something for your future. And you need to look up and decide, I'm going to get everything out of the rest of my life that I can possibly get out of it. I'm not going to waste my life. I'm going to let my future be positive. I'm going to let my future... I want to see some good things happen in my future." Oh, you say, "But Brother Owens, you don't know what I'm facing right now. You just don't know how big my problem is." Can I tell you something? You obviously just don't know how big my God is. You must not realize that whatever you face, God is big enough, and God can help you through it, and God can give you victory, and God can get you on the top side, and God can help you to accomplish. You say, "But it's been so depressing." You know what? The deeper you went, the more glorious the mountaintop will be when we get there, and God can do that. You say, "You don't know how deep the pain, but you don't realize how great the mountaintop could be." You say, "What's my future?" Well, it is as you will. What are you going to do? If you want to lay in the valley and moan and groan and whine and lick your sores and lick your pains, you may. And we all do a little bit. But it's time for some of you to stop whining in the valley and get to the mountaintop and do something with your future. See, I've been through a lot. Well, welcome to the club, bud. You don't have to live much life to have been able to say, "I've been through a lot." There are those that sit around and talk about everything they've been through, when everybody feels sorry for them, pat them on the head and rub their belly. And there are other people that get up and say, "You know what? I've been through a lot, but I'm not staying down. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go on and do something with my life." What happens in your future? It is as you will. What happiness will your future include? Well, to a certain degree, it is as you will. Marriage is in this room. You say, "What's our future?" It is as you will. If you'll do the right thing, it can be fantastic. Matter of fact, some of you in your families, the best days could be ahead. And let me tell you something. Everybody's wanting somebody to blame for everything that's going wrong. Why don't you do your part and then let God do the rest? Your future, your spirituality, it is as you will. Someone said, "The world's not yet seen what God could do with the person that would totally surrender themselves to Him." What is that? Hey, you say, "I'd like to be happy in life." Well, then be happy. It's your choice. Nobody woke up this morning and made you be an old grump. Nobody made you drink that gallon of dill pickle juice that you sucked down before church. You can laugh if you want to laugh. You can smile if you want to smile. You can have victory if you want to have victory. God is not, His hand is not short that it cannot uplift your spirit, get you on the way to success. What do you have in your hand there? Your future. What do you have in your hand there? Your body. What do you have in your hand there? Your mind. May I also say, there's a responsibility here, folks. You know what else you have in your hand? You know what else you have at your availability? Your responsibility? You have other people's investment in you. And so you all know, people have invested in you. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it said, unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. Everybody in here, you look at me. Your mama loved you and brought you into this life. She invested in you. Your daddy invested in you. Some teacher out there invested in you. Some grandma took you aside and taught you things that nobody else taught you and invested in you. And some granddad, he invested in you. Some of you people, God, somebody was just a friend, took you aside and taught you to work or how to do it and what to do in life. You've had people invest in you. Just so y'all understand something, you say, well, if I want to trash my life, it's my business. I've got news for you. Life is a little bigger than that, and you can't cop out on the responsibility of life like that. A lot of people have invested in you, and you owe it to your mama to succeed, and you owe it to your daddy to succeed, and everybody in here, whatever you're going through, it's time to climb out of the molly grubs and decide, I'm not going to let my mom down. I'm not going to let my dad down. I'm not going to let my family down. I'm not going to let the people down that have invested in me through the years. I'll get up. And I'm not talking about a vanity or a pride. I'm talking about a humility that says, too many people have done too many things to help me to make it in life, and I'm not going to let their investment go to waste. So a preacher, my mom and my dad, they're already gone and in heaven. Well, then they got a front row seat watching what you're going to do with your life, don't they? There's some of you preachers have invested in you, and Sunday school teachers have invested in you, and brothers and sisters have invested in you. If nothing else, you better stop and realize Jesus Christ, He was buried for you. He was crucified for you. And He was resurrected for you. And He invested. You say, how much did He give? He gave it all so that you could go do something with your life. He didn't just save you to get you to heaven. He saved you so you'd go to heaven eventually and that you'd have a good journey from the moment you got saved till the time that you leave this life and go to the next. You're to have a victorious Christian life. I have to tell you, there are others who have invested in you. Parents that loved you. Sacrificed for you. What do you have there? What do you have in your hands? Some of you, you've got your grandmother's heart in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Remember how grandma used to want you to do the right thing? She wanted you to do the right thing. Grandma wanted you to go to church. Most grandmas did. Think, well, would to God you had a batch of grandmas around in this world like that now. Grandmas ought to want you to be in church. Grandpas wanted you to succeed. Well, I thank God for my grandpa. He was a no-excuse kind of a guy. I remember, I loved staying overnight with him. I hated getting up in the morning with him. I got up so early it was ridiculous. He was a carpenter. He was a mason. He laid stone and poured cement. Oh my. I can remember times when I was carrying bundles of shingles to the top of the house to roof, and well, I'd get to the top and I'd be up there, and my grandpa's up there. You know, he's 25 years older than me, 30 years older than me, and he's up there swinging that hammer and everything. I'd say, Papa, I'm tired. He said, everybody's tired. Get another bundle. You want to know something? I thank God that my granddad was like that. And I thank God that I watched my dad get up every day and teach me how to go to work without excuse and not to whine around about the difficulties of life. You know what? I would have quit a long time ago had some people not invested in me along the way. You know something? If I didn't care and if I didn't want to make it and I just wanted to roll over and play dead, I would have a hard time doing it. You say why? Because it's not just all about me, and it's time for people to get their eyes off their stingy, self-centered selves and realize there are a lot of people depending on you to do the right thing, even if it's hard. What about the people that have invested in you? There are no such thing as self-made people. You're not self-made. And let's say you say, well, Brother Owens, my dad was a drunk and my mom was a whore and they're no counts. Well, you remember this. They gave you the one thing that you needed. You needed life. and they gave you life, and you would never experience being born again and having eternal life had somebody not given you that initial life of birth. Everybody here, I don't care how bad your mom was and how bad your dad was, they gave you life, and that's a pretty prized possession. One of these days you'll go to heaven, not because they caused you to get saved, but they did give you the life that led you to being born again. You remember that. I don't care how bad mom and dad was. Most of you didn't have a mom and dad that were all that bad. They say they were crazy. You had something to do with that. I tell you, I believe this. I believe that in our hands. Now, God will help us to do what we need to do. I'm not saying we do it by ourselves. I'm not saying that at all. I'm against the humanistic philosophies of our day, but I am here to tell you there is a responsibility that man holds in his own life. God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. But God will help you to do what needs to be done. What do you have in your hand there? A mind? Well, what are you doing with it? What do you have in your hand there? A body? What are you doing with it? What do you have in your hand there? Your future? Well, what are you going to do with it? What do you have in your hand there? What is it? You have for sure the investment of other people in your life. I think of our country. I'm a patriot. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. If somebody came to me and said there'll never be revival in America, I won't listen to a thing they say. You say, what would you do? I'd try to keep having revival in America. I might not be able to bring a revival across the entire country, but I'll take my little chunk of New Bern and see what I can do with that. I can't do what I can't do, but I'm responsible to do what I can. You say, oh, this country, fooey on this country. It's attitudes like that that really bother me. And I just have my opinion. You don't like America, then get on the first boat and head out, Doc. I don't like everything about America, but this is still my country. You know what we all need to do? If we're decent, moral, Christian people, we need to rise up and do our part. We've got to do our part. What do you have in your hand there? Well, we may have the future of our country in our hands. We've got to do what we can. I'm almost finished, but let me say, what do you have in your hand there? Oh, it's your soul. Your eternity. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 17, whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Let me explain. Two kinds of people in this room right now. People that are born again, people that are not. Or people that are saved, or people that are not saved. The difference is this question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you say no, then you're not on your way to heaven. I'm not mad at you. I'm your friend. But two kinds of people. People on their way to heaven and people that are not. Now, you need to understand something. Your eternity is in your hands. Jesus is ready to save you and take you to heaven when you die. It's not His call whether you go or not. It's your call. Oh, don't think a loving God would send anybody to hell. Never has. They sent themselves. He said, I'm going to give you a free gift called salvation. Take it, go to heaven. Don't take it, go to hell. That's called hellfire damnation preaching, so you know. I didn't create it. It's in the Bible. That's what God said. I'm not trying to offend you, but I am going to tell you the truth while you're here. You either saved or you're not. You either trusted Christ or you didn't. And if you haven't, you ought to. It's a free gift. He paid for it. And so you know, not my call, your call. He doesn't make you get saved. He makes it available to you. And you make up your mind. And you say, I'll take it. I'll trust Christ as Savior. In a moment, I'll ask, are you born again? Are you saved? And if you're not, we'll give you an opportunity to get saved. It's a very simple thing to do. But if you're not born again, you need to get saved. Oh, what do you have there in your hand? Your eternity. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to trust Christ and go to heaven? Are you going to reject or deny Him and go to hell? I want to read a verse to you, and I'm about to close. John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, and 29. Listen to this verse. It says this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know what? I love that. You know what that means? When you get saved, God takes you and puts you in His hands. I say, God, what do you have in your hands there? He said, Jeff Owens. Is he alive or is he dead? God say, he's alive. And then God says, and there's nothing you can do about it. He's in my hands. When you get saved, the Bible says he takes those that become his sheep, he puts them in his hands, and he protects them there. I'm safe for my eternity because I'm in the hands of God. You know, you've heard him sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. The truth of the matter is he's got everybody that's saved in his hands. If you're not saved, there's a lack of protection in your life. You ought to get born again. And for some of you, you need to realize. You say, I've just been waiting on God to get everything straightened out. God's not going to straighten everything out for you. There's some things you need to get involved and do your part. It is as you will, and then God will help. I promise that's how it works. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is very, very simple. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Who here would say, Pastor Owens, I do not know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I would say, no, I'm not sure of that. Pray for me because I do not know that I'm born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure of that. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm born again. Okay, I've seen those hands. Who here would say, preacher, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for a fact that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'll give testimony of that today. I want God to know it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll raise my hand saying, I've trusted the risen Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm saved. I know it. I've trusted Christ. You may put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. A few did not raise your hand. I'm not trying to hurt you, nor would I try to embarrass you. I just know this. It is as you will. I got to tell you, it's not up to me. It's not up to your husband. It's not up to your wife. It's not up to mom and dad. It's up to you. If you want to go to heaven, you have to trust Jesus for yourself. I can't trust him for you, nor can you trust him for me. If you've never been saved, in a second, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. We're going to make it so if you want to be born again, you can come down the aisle. We'll take someone and let them take a Bible and show you very quickly and very simply how to be born again. That'll happen in just a moment. To the Christians, it is as you will. There's some of you, I ask, what do you have there in your hands? For some of you, you're destroying your mind. For some of you, it's your body. For some of you, it's your attitude about your future. It is as you will. It's time for some of you to take the responsibility and say, I am not going to waste what God's given me. I'm going to get into church. I'm going to do the right thing. Who here as a Christian would say, that's what I need to do. There's some things about my life I understand. It is as I will. God will help me to do what needs to be done if I'll just do it. Who here would say, God has spoken to my heart about the sermon today, and there's something about it I plan to do something about it. Would you raise your hand and say, that's it. I there's some things I just need to do. You may put your hands down. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. When she begins to play, we're going to stand. If you need to be saved, you come, and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian and you say, you know, I think I need a moment on my knees. I had better push the reset button. Today is the victorious day of the resurrection. And that Jesus did, he did it not only so I could be saved, but that I could have a victorious Christian life. That's what the sermon's all about. Let's take what Jesus did for us and let's become victorious in our lives. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you may come. You just come. If you need to get on your knees, if you need to join the church, you come. We have some seats up here on the left. We have some seats up here in the front. If you've been saved and you've been baptized after your salvation, you want to join the church, you come. There are more coming. If you're not saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again? There are people being saved this morning. If you've been saved and you've not joined our church, you've been saved and baptized, I think that you ought to come and join our church. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Mrs. Young, we may need those two or three seats right there. Maybe if you can slip toward the back. Everybody else, you're fine. You can sit still where you're at. And Brother Steed, I'll take your decision slips, but I think there's room for those young men right there in the second row. And remember this. To every Christian in the house, what do you have there in your hands? What are you going to do with what God's given you? And for some of you, let me ask you, what do you have in your hand? And the answer is, God's given me a second chance. God's given me another opportunity. Well, what are you going to do with it? You're going to make the same stupid mistakes again that you made before? Or are you going to have victory? What's God given you? You say, He's given me another chance. He's given me a chance to do the right thing. Then do the right thing. Don't crush that, but let it live. Let it bring victory. This is the last time through the song. We'll very quickly see then what these folks have come forward to decide today.